Blog Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is. Holy name.
Now if we just
for His works toward men. Now
me want to laugh, but it's all good. There'll be guests on my show. We're gonna have a good time tonight. Woo! I'm here in Chicago with my lovely, lovely son that you saw the pictures got married into this beautiful, beautiful bride, yeah. And I kind of coerced them to be on my show. At least y'all did, and y'all is elbowing Joseph right now to make sure he cooperates. So if we laugh in between, that's why. I said, oh my goodness, everything we've been learning, my subject that the Lord gave me for this week is freedom because of salvation. And the subtopic is take owner of your freedom. And these are the things that we've been hearing about, how we're free to receive the glory of God, the perfect gifts of God, free not to bow down. Everything, I went, oh, that's what you gave me. And I told, I said, you gotta come on my show and be a guest and talk about the freedom as a woman when you don't bow down and you wait on God for a husband. I said, you know how many women are single, including me? Oh, yeah, I shouldn't have said that, but yeah, I'm all up in this. Well, I discovered, you can laugh out loud, it doesn't matter. And you wait on the Lord, but you wait with the promise of not bowing down or giving over your integrity for anything. So I'm going to let Yah speak first, because we're women and we do our girl thing. And I just love her. She's like a daughter that's been here forever, even though I haven't actually. Have I known you a year yet? Sort of, kind of. Well, this will mark a year, because I met you at this time last year. Joseph, I'll tell him. Okay, so Joseph said in 2015, God promised him a wife. And it was July. And he says, God, it's July. And I don't know, did God say anything? Did he answer you at that point? Or you were just complaining, more or less?
I was just reminding him.
He said, speak up. He says, I was just reminding him. So in July, he met Yah, who actually attends the same church, Bill Wimpton, where he had been. But, you know, he's a musician and up, so he hadn't really seen people, but they were introduced. So I met her in September at the conference that I'm attending now, and I said, she's good. She's a keeper. Yep, we're good to go here. So we just knew that there was connection, but there's some other details about this connection. But the cool thing, keep in mind, the subject is freedom because of salvation. When you love God and He's first in your life, and you take advantage and you take ownership of your freedom by not bowing down to anything, it makes life easier. So this is Yah, who is a, what's the name? I had it memorized. She is the child dentist, or the pediatric dentist. There you are. Specialty, only 5,000 in the U.S., and my new daughter is one of them. So here's Yah.
You know, it's truly a blessing when you wait upon the Lord to give you all the desires of your heart. For so long in my life, I've depended on God in everything, in my education, passing an exam, just everything. But when it came time for a husband, I mean, at one point in my life, I was very anxious. I would pray and I would say, God, is this it? Is this it? Oh, it's not it. But when I truly surrendered to God and I just placed it completely in His hands and I stopped being anxious, I can say that He truly blessed me with the desires of my heart. And He gave me a husband, not just a husband. He gave me a God-fearing husband. He gave me a good man, a man who listens, a man who loves God with all his heart, a man who provides, who takes care of me, who supports me. So it is a great thing to call upon the Lord, request all your desires. Well, give Him all your desires, and He will give you all the desires of your heart. So if there are any women out there who are listening and they're single, just please, just surrender completely unto the Lord and just tell Him your desires. Tell Him everything that you want in a man, and He'll give you those desires. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't try to take things in your own hand. Just wait on the Lord, and He'll do it, and He'll do it good, and He'll do it right, and it'll be everything you wanted and more.
My name is Joseph McDonald, and I'm pleased with nothing.
She just elbowed him. I want him one more time for me, please. That's my son, Joseph. What can I say? Something doesn't fall far from the something, however that cliche. Speak to the women and speak to the men about your desire. Come on, Joe. Be nice.
But I agree with everything my wife said. And, you know, waiting on God, you can make it difficult or you can make it easy, depending on, you know, what you're viewing, how you're looking at things, what you're preparing yourself to do. And staying in God's word is key, not being anxious, not fearful. And it came up this week in the conference that perfect love casts out all fear. So if you're doing those things to just seek God, be diligent, stay in your love walk with God, then you won't move towards fear. You won't have any doubt in his promises. And you'll just follow the path until you're ready for what God has for you. And that's what I am an advocate for. I mean, it doesn't have to be hard. God told me 2015, in the beginning of the year, he said, you'll meet your wife this year. Oh, okay. You know, there have been several years that I was wondering, you know, at one point I was anxious, thinking, oh, I had to find somebody, or was I fit for someone, or, you know, did I have to change myself to accommodate, you know, moving to Chicago from a small city, you know, what a woman looking for in Chicago versus Zanesville, Ohio. You know, do I have to change the way I think or act or myself to accommodate for women in a big city? And that was one thing that was in my mind, you know, am I tough enough? Am I bad boy enough? And, you know, God would tell me, no, be yourself. You know, the right one will find you as you are, you know. And I did date several women and, you know, and then it made me think about myself and think that I was not good enough, you know, because I didn't meet the image that they were looking for. But that's not who I was, and that's ultimately not who God had for me. So once I learned to become more comfortable in my own skin and what God created me to do and to be, that's how he equipped me to you know, be strong within myself and know who I am in him. And when it was ready, God told me, 2015, you'll meet your wife. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. And so I wasn't anxious. I wasn't desperate. And I knew God's word. So by July, as my mom said, I'm like, okay, God, half of this year is over. Just letting you know, you told me this year that I'd meet my wife, but, you know, I'm not anxious, but, you know, half of this year is over, so I'm still looking. I'm just patiently waiting. And then by the end of that month, we were introduced by two mutual friends. Had no idea, no clue, and things happened quickly after that. So to that be the glory.
That is so awesome. God made you. When he redeemed you, we were hearing tonight that someone was saying that whatever's in you is always in you, and it will be in you no matter what you go through in life. Sometimes you think we go through different changes. Oh, the childhood desires are had. This is happening. No, who you are is who God made you to be. And that's why he says here, and this is Titus, the second chapter, which I took our scripture from the 11th verse down to the 15th. I'll start a little backwards. 15 says, these things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I had never looked at that scripture that way, Joseph, until you said that. Who you are, no man has a right to despise who and what you are. That's who and what God made you to be. You know, I tell people now that I'm comfortable with who I am. I mean, I grew up with this 6-foot frame almost and 1-foot foot. My foot was a foot long when I was in elementary school, and it was not a good thing. But and I wouldn't even show my feet, you know. But now I'm okay with who I am. In fact, I'm good with who I am. But it took me to take authority and ownership over the freedom and exercise my freedom in God, saying to God, I'm good with who you made me to be. However this frame looks, whatever it is, I'm good with it. So many times I teach them, and a room with hundreds of women, I'll say, how many are satisfied with how they look and their shape and who they are and blah, blah, blah. And no one will raise their hand. No one. Because generally we want this, or a little less of this, a little more of that or something. And I said, so what you're saying is that, now we're not talking about the fluff and stuff, because, you know, that goes and comes, hallelujah. Sitting up, I have ice cream last night, and they're feeding me that stuff. This was all their fault. So I'm not talking about fluff and stuff, but just the general makeup of who you are. You're saying to God, I don't like my packaging. In other words, I don't like what you did. If you had asked me, I would have told you that I would like to look like such and such and so. I mean, it could be our talent or our personality or our shyness or our foreignness. There's always something about us that we don't like. But when you can fall in love with you, oh, guess what? Somebody else can. You really, and that's why the scriptures, when you think about it, the first commandments, it says the first two wrap up everything. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. What's the second one? Love thy neighbor what? As thyself. If you don't love yourself first, guess what? You don't know how to love your neighbor. Oh, guess what? You don't know how to love God. That's a little harsh. It took me years to accept that. But if you don't love you, then you don't love what God did about you, so you have ought against God. Oh, that's not a good position to be in. Not at all. I mean, think about that. When you're depressed or dismayed in this, you're saying, God, I don't like where I am. I don't like what I'm doing. He's gone. He told me the other month, he said, it's not my fault. People always blame me. He said, it's not my fault. They all say, you know, God, he says, it's not. You have choices. You have choices to take ownership of the freedom that he died to give you. Let's start at the beginning of our scripture in Titus the 11th verse. The grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. It has appeared to you, so it's on you whether you accept it or not. 12, teaching after denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Oh, so through the salvation that he has brought to us, we can live godly. See, talk about that. Talk about your godly walk, why you thought that you could put a charge on God to answer your prayers. Because most people say, believe it, receive it. It's true, but you better read the rest of the story, which says you have to, he preached on it last night, you cannot have forgiveness in your heart and have faith. The two don't work together, because when you go and you pray, he says, get up from the altar and get rid of your ought, otherwise I can't receive your prayer. So talk a little bit about the before in your walk with the Lord, and that you had confidence to trust him. And most people say, well, I would like to wait on God, but, you know, he just don't move fast enough for me. Oh, well, let me know how that works out for you. So talk a little bit about, you know, the salvation that you had and how you have built up your faith to trust him with your future. Because neither one of you are 21. Some people have an age thing. So talk a little bit about that.
So I've trusted God in so many areas of my life, and he's never failed me. And knowing that, I knew that I could trust him in marriage and even to bring the right husband. So I just remember so many times during my education, I would say a prayer. I mean, I know that failure brings about faith and it makes you stronger. But one thing I've always hated to do is to fail. You know, no one likes to fail. And I would pray during my exams and I would be like, Lord, I know that you want to make me stronger, but please just don't allow me to fail this exam. You can teach me eventually, but I just I don't want to learn during this exam. And every exam I had, I would say the same prayer. And I would pass every exam. So I trusted him in something so small, like an exam. I knew that I could trust him in something big, like the partner, the man, the soulmate he had for me. And once I turned it over completely unto God, and I just surrendered, and I wrote down everything that I wanted in a husband. I even wrote how I wanted it to happen. And I would joke around with my friends sometimes, and I would say, you know, when Jacob met Rachel, he knew instantly that he wanted that to be his wife. And I would tell them for years, like if they're listening, they could agree with me. I would tell them for years, when I meet my husband, he's going to know right away. It's going to take him 3 months. He's going to know. And it's not going to take him longer than 3 months to know if he wants to marry me. He's going to know right away, just like Jacob knew when he saw Rachel. And when I met Joe, he knew. By the second month, we were talking about marriage. And by the third month, we were planning a wedding. So, but it was just according to your faith. Like scripture says, be it unto you according to your faith. So if you trust God and you believe in him and you surrender and you do as he says, he gives you all the desires of your heart. So if you can trust him in the little things, like waking you up in the morning, passing an exam, or getting you throughout the day, you can trust him in something as big as your husband, your spouse, or helping you, or sending the right mate to you.
I agree, baby. two key things with God, and I would think those would be faith and obedience. So God, he takes pleasure in those that have faith in him. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And then he says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So you have to believe what he says, and faith without works is dead. So with faith, there's always an action to be done, which is obedience. And I believe, like in Deuteronomy, you know, I've been focusing on Deuteronomy 28 and going back to the original statement of, you know, how did you believe God to perform, you know, what you were praying for without doubt and having it come through, is really, it's the covenant. Really, it's Deuteronomy 28 when it's talking about, if you do these things, then this is what I do. And so having security in God's word, having security in his promises, and fulfilling your portion of the bargain. Because God's like, if you do this, then this is what I do. If you do this, then this is what I do. You know, and understanding God's promises and being obedient to what he tells you to do, it's a sure thing that he's going to keep his part of the deal.
That is awesome. Oh my goodness. Totally awesome. And that segues completely into the second part of, you know, I do a one sheeter. If you don't know, you go to my Facebook and there's a one sheeter I put up every week. And the second subtitle was take ownership of your freedom. And he hit it right on the core, and so did she. And what example I used was Ezekiel, when God told him to prophesy to the dead bones. Now, Ezekiel had faith in God, but all of a sudden his faith was going to be put on the table. Let me see what you got, bro. I want you to speak to this. I can't even imagine looking at a whole valley of nothing but skeletal bones. And he's saying, can these bones live? Ezekiel was smart enough to say, well, you can answer that one. You tell me, can they? So God said, yeah, I asked you first. But then he commands him to speak. See, God's going to always put a command on us to test your faith. Don't flaunt the test, because you have to take it over and over. Go for an A. And it's simple obedience. And whatever he asks you to do, it's always impossible. Because if it was possible, he wouldn't ask you to do it, because it wouldn't be the same. But he said, speak to these dry bones. The short of the story, you can go and read it in the Ezekiel. Did I put the chapter down here? Yeah, I did. 27 chapters. The short of the story is that all the bones came together, all the sinners and all the flesh, but there was no life. There was no life on there. No, I was just telling you, this thing was there. There was no life in these bones. And he said, well, speak to the wind and tell them to breathe. Now, here's the cool thing. Everything God told Ezekiel and anybody in the Bible, we can do it. It don't make any difference what it is. we can go speak to skeletal bones, and they if you have faith, and God commanded you, or if you ask God, I want this to happen, you can put a command on God for it. He says it's in your word. Like Jesse the man said, God will ask me, what do you want me to do? So, well, this is what I want you to do. I had the power, call on the power of Samson one time. When what's his name? Benjamin had a little accident out to the, yeah, the zipper was, and it was doctors and nurses, was it caught up in the genital, and they were going to just cut it out. I said, oh, you're not cutting my son. We're in an operating room. And you got two doctors and nurses and me trying to hold little Benjamin down this eight because he done zipped up into his genitals because we had been in the water. And I said, I'm not going to. And they were freaking out because, you know, it's just gentle. So I said, give me a flat screwdriver. I'm a seamster. Now, there's a cast iron mold on the zipper thing. There's no, it's seamless. It's cast iron. I'm like, Jesus, you strengthen Samson? You're going to need to strengthen me. And I'm going to call on it. Whatever powers you gave him, I command them to come on me. I said, because I just put them out on everybody, get out. Now, they should have had me sign papers, put on gloves, all that. I said, get out. This is my son. They had already numbed it so I could work. I put that screwdriver and I said, in the name of Jesus, I want the power of Samson. Now, he is no better than I am. You can't like him or love him any more than you do me. And I broke that mold. Of course, the screwdriver went in my hand. I have a cut. Sure, but it's no big deal. I said, y'all can come back in now. It's over. Broke the mold in half. Put my faith to the test. Now, here was my fleece, because we were out of Blue Rock, and it was like 10 miles in, and we were going to go down Wayne where your grandpa lived, and we didn't have cell phones at that time. So my fleece was the guy said, as I drive by, he lives up on the hill. I said, I want him in a suit. I want him down in his car. I want the car running. When he sees the ambulance and he sees me toot behind him, I want him to drive right behind me. Now, how is all that going to happen? I have no way of calling him or nothing. I'm 10 miles away from him. But I told God, this is what you go tell him. Get dressed, be down at that mailbox, just sitting there. And when I drive by, he's to be there and follow because their dad was out of town. And so it's first experience I had doing this. And I called the ambulance, waste my money and time. And I followed them. Don't you know when I drove by his house, who do you think was out of the mailbox with the car running? Their grandpa. And follow me straight to the hospital. Don't tell me what God won't do if you believe in, if you ask. Anything you read by faith, it's yours. So I call him again. I said, come on in, it's over. They said, oh, it's still there. I said, it's flesh. Yeah, one little quarter of an inch cut. And we put a Band-Aid on and went home. But they were going surgically, remove and cut a piece out of him. I said, oh, I don't think so. You're not running my child for life. And he's eight. Get out. I got this. Get out. So back to Ezekiel. If he says do the bones, you can do the bones. Whatever you need. If you are willing to put God first, don't you know? See, here's the cool thing about our God. Already been there, done that. There is nothing that's going to ever come to you to challenge as new or boo to him. He's already resolved it. He already knows. My son's acting up. I'm trying to close out. He's tickling the wife. Mine, he's so tickled to have a wife. We're all tickled he has a wife, okay? Joy for me to watch them be so joyous together. But, yeah, thank you all so much for coming and just being that witness that God can do anything. Any last word? We got about 40 seconds. Anything last you want to say? I'm in love. Woo! It's so sweet. Be blessed and know that you have the freedom to live in joy, peace, and happiness because Jesus died to give you salvation, which wipes away sin. Be blessed. Woo! In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And thank you, guests. I love you all. Bye.